Beyond. Today's shiur and every shiur throughout Chodesh Cheshvan is sponsored by Morty and Lorraine Son, the Zecher Nishmas, Mrs. Son's father, Mr. Harold Levine, Rabbi Cheskel, Ben Rav Yaakov Chanoch Halevi, Olav HaShalom, and Mr. Son's father, Dr. Harry Son, Olav HaShalom, Rav Tzvi, Ben Rav Lazar, Olav HaShalom. So our learning should be Ezechos for their neshamos. We are starting a new sugya today. Chav Zayinam Beis. I really wasn't sure what I was going to do. 11 o'clock last night, I decided I had Mevaker Pnei Rabba Beregel all set up, and then that was what I was going to do next. But then 11 o'clock last night, for some reason, I decided I wanted to do Lachem first. So we're going to do Lachem. I threw this together, obviously, last minute, so if I'm not 100% clear in the Mar Makomos, you'll forgive me, or if they're missing a couple of Makoros. Long night. Anyway, so the Chav Zayinam Beis. So the Gemara has a fundamental machlokas between Rav Lazar and the Chachamim. Two fundamental machlokas. And the first one starts on the bottom of Chav Zayin Amar Aleph. Tanya Rav Lazar Omer, Ein Yosim Yisukah L'Sukah, Ve'Ein Osim Sukah B'Cholah Shel Moed. They're really the same din. That you can't go from one Sukah to another Sukah, nor can you make a Sukah on Cholah Moed. Meaning, the din is that you need a Sukah that's going to be there for all 7 days for you. So if you're going to be using one Sukah part of the time, another Sukah the other part of the time, that's no good. Rashi says, Ein Yosim Yisukah L'Sukah, you can't spend do eating in one and sleeping in another, or spend one day in one, another day in another, and you can't make a sukkah chol shemoed, because then it's again the Gemara will explain. The Chum Omrim and the Chum say no, neither of those are a problem. Yotzim yisukkah l'sukkah v'os and sukkah b'chol shemoed v'shavin, but everybody agrees shem nafal shachozer abona b'chol shemoed. Everyone agrees that if your sukkah fell down, you're allowed to rebuild it on Chol HaMoed. So now we're going to have to figure out what the svar of Rabbi Elazar is, what the problem is, and why that is not a problem if it fell down and you're just rebuilding it. So the Gemara explains, my time is Rabbi Elazar Amakra, Chag HaSukos Tasa L'cha Shivas Yamim. And we darshan, that means Asei Sukkah HaRu'uya L'Shiva. Your Sukkah needs to be a 7-day Sukkah. If you build a 1-day Sukkah, a 2-day Sukkah, anything short of a 7-day Sukkah, it is possible. The Rabbanan say, no, it just means you have to make a sukkah on Yom Tov, but not that it has to actually last for 7 days. So why then is Rabbi Lezer Moda that if it falls down you can rebuild it? After all, what you rebuild is not going to last for 7 days, because it just started, let's say it falls down on day 3 and you rebuild it, so you only really have the new sukkah for 4 days, and the old one you only had for 3 days. Where's your sukkah haru'uya l'shiva? So why does Rabbi Lezer agree? So says the Gemara. Actually, the Gemara asks it the other way. The Gemara says, of course it's okay. Why would you think it's not okay? Right? If you rebuild it. So the Gemara says, no, you might think, hayachritihu, that when you rebuild it, it is a brand new sukkah that you're rebuilding, that it doesn't have the din of the same sukkah, and therefore it's not a sukkah rilashiva. Kamash malan, that apparently it's still called the same sukkah. It's still called the sukkah rilashiva, meaning one might have reasonably thought that if you build a sukkah, then a hurricane comes and knocks it down, and you take that wood and you rebuild that same wood into a sukkah, one might have reasonably thought that's a new sukkah. That's not the same sukkah that was, because that the sukkah that was fell down, and this is a brand new sukkah. So kamash malan, that it's the same sukkah, that it's still called the same sukkah. So if you look at Tosfos, top Tosfos, ma'ad zetem akibin du nafla achritihi, yesh svarim shekasav behen, so some of the svarim have a girsa, kamash malan, that the kamash malan is kivan de bedida ka'avid hi mash malifi shabona osaba osan etzim. Tell us a very important chiddush. If your sukkah falls on Chol HaMoed and you go and you lost, or let's say a hurricane came, tornado, whatever, knocked your sukkah down and blew away all of the materials that your sukkah was made out of, and you go and you buy a new sukkah, you buy new materials, you chop down new wood, you go to the hardware store, you buy new materials, and you build a new sukkah, that's no good, according to Rabbi Elazar. That's for sure a brand new sukkah, and you're not allowed to make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. The only time it's okay is if you're using the same wood that was used, the same materials, lav dafka wood, just wood for the schach, the same materials that were used in the original sukkah. When you use those same materials and you rebuild with those same materials, then it's called the same sukkah. But if you're using new materials, then it's lo gara, it's lo adif, rather than building a brand new sukkah on Chol HaMoed when you had nothing before. Because it's a brand new sukkah, it has nothing to do with the sukkah that existed previously. Meaning, even if you build it on the same spot, The makom is not what's goreim the shame sukkah. It's not that, okay, since there was a sukkah on that spot for the last 3 days, and now I'm ensuring that there's going to be a sukkah on this spot for the next 4 days, so it's the same sukkah. No, it has nothing to do with the spot. You need to use the same materials again when you rebuild it. Very important chiddush of Tosfos, yeah? It seems so. Yeah, it seems so. That you take that same material, even if you build it in a different spot, it seems that the hakpada is on the material, not on the spot. Now, what I was wondering, and I didn't see anyone discuss this, but again, I was a little late in preparing shiur, but I was wondering, what if you build it in a different way? Meaning, what used to be the walls, you're now using for schach, what used to be the schach, you're now using for walls. Let's say the material you used for your original walls was actually kashal l'schach. You used wood, that was kashal l'schach. What if you mix it around in that way? Is it still called the same sukkah because it's fundamentally made out of the same material? Or is it al shem schach kri sukkah? Like Rashi says at the beginning of the Masechta, that schach is the definition of the sukkah, and therefore the schach needs to be the same material that the original schach was. And if, you know, and furthermore, is it, what if you have the same material as the schach, but the walls are all destroyed and blown away if you use new materials for the walls? What's the koveh over here? Is it dafka on the schach? Is it on all the walls? Is it that everything has to be in the same place that it was? Not abundantly clear. All we do see from Tosos is that you need to reuse the same materials and then it's okay. If you go and use other materials, it's not okay. Good? That's what we see from Tosos. So, yeah. The regular, because one might have thought, my sukkah gets knocked down. As long as I built the sukkah originally, it got knocked down, and I'm replacing it. So I don't have to replace it with the same materials. I could have read the Gemara that I'm replacing it with other materials. I go and I buy new material, and I build a sukkah on the same spot where my old sukkah was. So I would think that's okay. Tosfos says, no, that's not okay. Based on his girsa in the Gemara, that it's not okay. You need to use the same materials. So why do I say this Tosfos is so important other than just understanding pshat in the Gemara? It's like Rabbi Levin came over to me this morning and he asked me what sugya I was doing. I said, lachem. He goes, there's not so much halacha l'maisa in that sugya. Like, why would you do that? I'm like, no, you know, I learn Gemara also sometimes, not only halacha, but this might be nogei l'maisa. Why might this be nogei l'maisa? So when I was in Rav Shachter's shir from Masechta Sukkah, and contrary to what he told you guys, we actually did do Masechta Sukkah when I was in a shir, those 200 pages of notes came from somewhere. So he pointed out a Beis HaLevi in his Vartlach on Chanukah, in his Chidushim on Chanukah. The Beis HaLevi is printed in the Beis HaLevi Ala Torah. I put it in the wrong spot in the Mar Makomos. Again, I apologize. But if you look in the back page of your Mar Makomos, I have the old school version of the Beis HaLevi before they reprinted it, because I don't know, I never upgraded. So the Beis HaLevi has the following suffix. Very interesting. Kavsa zakukla, the halacha by Ner Chanukah, is that there's a machlokas in the Gemara, if the flame gets extinguished, you light the Ner Chanukah, it's supposed to last, let's say, atchetich l'regel min hashuk, so let's say that's 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it is, after 10 minutes, it extinguishes itself. Zakukla o ein zakukla? Do you need to relight it? Or you say, no, I did my maisa hadlaka, I did what I was supposed to do. Something happened that was out of my control and it got extinguished. I didn't do it b'meza, I didn't go extinguish it, it got extinguished somehow. So do I need to relight it or do I not need to relight it? Right? That's the discussion in the Gemara, in Masechta Shabbos, in the Chanukah Sugyas. So says the Beis HaLevi, Yesh l'stapik, lahachman yomar imrak b'kavso hu d'zokukla, aval hecha d'nishpach ha-shemen v'nevda psil legamri, in Sarich Lahadlik B'Shem Lu P'sila Acheres L'Hashem Shira Nechzar. Says the Beis HaLevi, according to the sheet of the Kavsa Zakukla, that if it gets extinguished, you do have to relight it. What if it doesn't only get extinguished, but the wick gets lost and the oil spills out? So the only way to relight it is not just by taking a match and relighting what's already there, but by putting in new oil and a new wick. And this is what makes the Beis HaLevi the Beis HaLevi. His immediate thought is, Sukkah Chav Zayin, Tav Tosfos. It's obvious, right? So he says, what's the Vart? He says, Bevadai, di yesh makom lomar. There's certainly room to argue, dirak bekavso hu dezakatla, that it's only if it got extinguished, and that's all that happened to it, but the oil is still there, the wick is still there, that's when you need to go and relight it. because you're relighting the same oil, the same wick. That's when you would have to go and relight it. Dikshamadlika chashiva kol achas, because you're relighting the same candle. And this is like the first candle that you originally lit. It just got extinguished, so you're relighting it. Aval im nishbach legamri, but what if it got totally spilled out? Then lo chivuhu klal lahadlik acheres. Then you don't need to relight a new one. Tirak ner echer upam echer tiknuv lo shnei pa'amim, because that's a brand new mitzvah. In Chazal, we're never misakin to do adlakas neros twice on two different candles. This is a brand new candle. Chazal, we're never misakin that. Where do I have such an idea, says the Beis Halevi? Sukkah daf chav zayin. Because Rabbi Lazar holds, you can't make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed because you need a sukkah ruya l'shiva. Rabbi Lazar is moda that if the sukkah falls down, that you can rebuild it. And Zok Tosfos, you can only rebuild it with the same material. But if you're using different material, that's not a rebuilding of the same sukkah, it's a brand new sukkah when you're using different material. So says Beis Halevi, Hu Adin by Ner Chanukah. Now obviously we don't pass Ner Krab Lazar, but the Svar is the same. That Hu Adin by Ner Chanukah, if you hold Kaf Sazakukla, maybe Kaf Sazakukla is only if it's the same material. But if that material spilled out, if the oil spilled out and the wick is gone, maybe we're not going to say Kaf Sazakukla because that's a brand new candle, and we would never say that you would have to light Chazal, we never misakein that you would have to light a brand new candle. That's what the Beis HaLevi suggests. Then he goes a little bit further, and he says, let's try to figure out, the shita that holds kafsa ain zakukla. Why not? There's a shita in the Gemara that holds that if it gets extinguished, your Ner Chanukah becomes extinguished, ain zakukla, don't relight it. So says the Beis HaLevi, yim no merkein, yesh lanu l'havin svaris man diyamar de kafsa ain zakukla. V'kivin de l'chadchila tzorek li'oz dolok kol ashir. L'chadchila, everyone agrees, Ner Chanukah is supposed to remain lit ad shetich l'regel min ashok. Zimkein, my tirchu l'achs v'ladlika. What, you can't take it's too much trouble to strike a match and to relight it? What would be the svara to say ein zakukla? Why wouldn't you relight it? So he says as follows. Yesh lomar da ikir Ner Chanukah zecher l'neis. Neros de menorah. He says, you have to remember that Ner Chanukah is a zecher to what happened with the nes of the Neros of the menorah. And therefore, however we do Ner Chanukah in some way, it should follow, it should be patterned after the Neros of the menorah. And the Gemara says in Menachos Taf Peches that in Ner Shekavsa, if one of the Neros of the menorah gets extinguished, Nitshana Shemen, Nitshna Apsila, Ketzarosa, Mativa Venosim Bo Shemen Kamida Rishona. If the oil is gone and the wick is gone, so you clean it all out and you put back oil like you had in the original measure. And Rashi says, Dipsila Shekavsa in La Takana, Shareu Kideshen. Because once the wick is extinguished, you can't do anything to fix it because it's already now like deshen. It's like the remnants that you need to be washed out, need to be cleaned out. So ketzaruosa. So what do? Metiva shemasha kol mashakvar luchot. You take whatever was in there and get rid of it because it's no longer usable once it's been extinguished. So what do you see from that Gemara? That once it's been extinguished, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is extinguished. The shemen and the wick that was in that menorah is automatically nifsal, may not be used again. And therefore, so now we understand the shita that holds kafsa ein zakukla. What's the big deal? You'll go, you'll relight it. No, the lighting of your Ner Chanukah is supposed to resemble the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. If it were to be extinguished, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash were to be extinguished, the halacha would be you'd have to clean out the whole thing. You can't relight that same oil, that same wick. So we have no choices over here. What are we going to do by Ner Chanukah? You're stuck. It's a catch-22. If you go and you try to relight it, well, that's not the way they did in the Beis HaMikdash. They cleaned it out. It was puzzle once it became extinguished. You're not going to relight it. You're going to say, I'll put new oil. Oil and new wicked, well then it's a brand new Ner Chanukah. Then it's not a hemshech of the original mitzvah. And the way Chazal were misake Ner Chanukah is that you only need to light one candle. So he says, based on this vart, based on this idea, but using Tosfos Sukkah Dav Chav Zayin, that when you're using new material, it's a brand new thing. And Chazal were never misakein to use a brand new thing, to use a brand new candle when it comes to Ner Chanukah. They were only misakein to light Ner Chanukah once, not twice. So mainly you understand both the shita of Kafsa Zakukla as well as the shita of Kafsa Ein Zakukla. So there, it is halach l'maisa. Right there we have both, according to both shitos, we're able to show that Tosfos, this svara of Tosfos plays a critical role. Okay. But that's not the the main focus that I wanted to focus on in this Gemara. The main focus, I think, is the next few lines of the Gemara. Again, about 10 lines in Chav Zayin and Beis says the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Amar, K'shem Shein Adam Yotza Yidei Chavaso B'yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Bilu Lovo Shel Chavero. Just like it's obvious, we know that you can't be Yotze, the mitzvah, on the first day of Sukkot, using someone else's lulav. Because it says, L'chachtem Lachem needs to be yours. There's a requirement of Lachem on the first day that the Dalet Minim needs to belong to you. Right? We're well aware of this halach, Misha Lachem, that it needs to belong to you. That's why we recommend that if a father is going to share his Dalet Minim with his Katan child, with a child below Bar Mitzvah, that the father should take the lulav and esrog first, and only then give it to the child, because if he gives it to the child first, the child has the ability to be koneh when there's a dasa cheres maknilo, when someone else is giving to him, when the gadol is giving to him, he has the ability to be koneh, but he does not have the ability to be makne it back. So if the father wants to be a nice guy and goes to his 9-year-old kid and says, here, take my lulav and esrog, and the kid takes it, and the father has not yet been yotze the mitzvah, then the kid tries to give it back, the father's not koneh it, and therefore it's not lechem, it doesn't belong to him. So this requirement of Mishel Lechem is a critical requirement that we're all very much aware of on the first day of Sukkot. So just like we have such a din by Dalet Minim, so comes along Reb Elazar and says, can you imagine how different the Yom Tov of Sukkot would be if you need to have you take Rabbi Lezer's two shittas that you need to stay in the same sukkah the entire time, and you can't use sukkah shel chavero on the first day? That would mean every Jew would have to build their own sukkah, and no one would ever be able to have company. You would never be able to go out for a meal on sukkahs, because once you use that sukkah day one, you're stuck with it the rest of the time. Right? Because the first day, you can't use sukkah shel chavero, you need to use your own sukkah, and after day one, the halacha is going to be that you have to use the same sukkah you've been using the whole time. So if you put two and two together with Rabbi Eliezer Shitos, wow, Yantif Sukkot would be entirely different. It would be a very unique Yantif. I once saw someone who wanted to be Machmir on the first day. His parents weren't invited out for a meal. He said, no, I'm going to be Choshesh Shitos Rabbi Eliezer. So I think that was the definition of Yuhara also, right? When we had the Yuhara, she had to be Choshesh for Das Yachin and Tanayim that's been rejected by halacha. I think it's all strong words about people like that. Yeah.
Mr. Rabbi Elazar now answer up as to how the whole thing dropped, and they said they were on the way to be Mugham from the Rabbo. They didn't have a sukkah, so what Rabbi Elazar say, because they were stopped, they were on the way up, they now would be potter because they don't have their own sukkah.
Right, anyway, they wouldn't be, even if they built one, it wouldn't be kosher by definition. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, according to Rabbi Elazar, that would be a problem, I would think. And see if there's discussion, but yeah, Mistama, that'll be a problem. So anyway, so says Rabbi Elazar, the first day of Sukkot, you need to have your own Sukkot. Tchsiv, Chag Sukkot Tasalcha, Shivas Yamim, and Lecha means Mishalcha, needs to be yours. Just like it says Lachem by the Dalet Minim, Lecha means that it's got to be yours. Lecham Omrim, no. I agree with you about Lulav, but I disagree when it comes to Sukkah. The Chacham say, we think that when it comes to Sukkah, you're allowed to use somebody else's Sukkah on the first day of Yantif. The Chsiv and our Raya is, Kala Ezrach B'Yisrael Yeshvu Basukos. Pasuk says, all citizens of Israel sit in Sukkos. Malamed Shekol Yisrael Ru'im Leisha B'Sukkah Achas. And that teaches me that all the Jewish people can sit in one Sukkah. And if all the Jewish people can sit in one Sukkah, it must be that you're allowed to sit in somebody else's Sukkah. Now, the obvious problem over here is, what's the Raya? Maybe all the Jewish people share a Sukkah. So it's my Sukkah too. If we all share a sukkah and I sit in it, is that sukkah shel chavero? It's my sukkah also. I have a shutfus in that sukkah. So what does it mean when the Gemara says, oh, you see, the Rabbanan say that you're allowed to sit in someone else's sukkah because all the Jewish people can sit in the same sukkah? So says Rashi, and this is a very controversial Rashi. We're going to spend the rest of Shir on this Rashi. Says Rashi, kala ezrach yeshu basukos ksiv. He says the implication is that all of the Jewish people will sit in the sukkah, in this same sukkah, ze achar ze, one after the other, meaning they can't all the Jewish people are not going to fit in one sukkah all at the same time, so it's got to be ze achar ze, that they take turns. Now Rashi says, I know what you're wondering. You're wondering, how, what does that have to do with the sukkah of Shel Chaver? Maybe we all own it. Maybe all the Jewish people chipped in and they bought a sukkah. So he says, no, it can't be that it's owned jointly by the entire Jewish people. Because there's no way that each person is going to have a shavapruta's worth in the sukkah. How much would a sukkah cost? Is the most expensive sukkah you could possibly imagine in the entire world. How much could it possibly cost? Even if it's huge, was it going to cost $1 million? $2 million? When you have however many millions of Jews that all chip in to buy the sukkah, each one is going to end up with less than a shavapruta. Each one is going to end up with less than a shavapruta's worth. And therefore, it's not their sukkah. And if it's not their sukkah, whose sukkah is it? I don't know, but not theirs. It's not anybody's, really. So by definition, it's she'ula. It's someone else's. And you're not allowed to be yotze. It was someone else's sukkah. Now, if I were to ask you, according to Rashi, let's say I don't have 1 million people chipping in. I have 5 people chipping in, $200 each, and they buy a nice fiberglass sukkah. So is that okay, according to Rashi? Can you be yotzei in such a sukkah? Sukkah shel shutfin, not borrowed. I am an owner, and I own 20% of it. I pay $200 out of $1,000. According to Rashi, can you be yotzei or not yotzei? What do you think? No? What do you think? Yeah, right, why not? Rashi's whole problem is that if you own less than a shavapruta of it, then by definition you don't really own it, and it's borrowed. That's sultana. And a borrowed sukkah, that's where Rabbi Elazar has a problem and the Chum say is okay. But if I actually do own more than a shavapruta of it, what do you get from Rashi? If I do own more than a shavapruta of that sukkah, even if I share it with lots of other people, then everyone would say it's okay. Even Rabbi Elazar would say it's okay. Then there's certainly no problem with it. It's not borrowed, it's mine. Rabbi Elazar only has a problem with the borrowed sukkah. Sukkah shel shutfin that I own a percentage of is going to be totally okay, according to Rashi. Good, I think that's Pashup Shad and Rashi. That's how the other Rishonim understand Rashi. That the problem with all of the Jewish people sharing one sukkah is that each Jewish person can't possibly own a Shavapruta's worth. Mimela, they're not the owner. Someone else is the owner. And when I'm sitting in it, I'm borrowing it from someone else. And according to the Chachamim, that's okay. According to Rabbi Eliezer, that's not okay. What does Rabbi Elazar do with the pasuk of Kol Ha'ezrach B'Yisrael? What does Rabbi Elazar do with this raya that the pasuk says everyone can sit in the same sukkah? So Rabbi Elazar says, no, it doesn't mean everyone can sit in the same sukkah. It's talking about something else. It means that if a boy becomes bar mitzvah on sukkahs, then he could build a sukkah then and he could be yotzei. Even though normally someone who was chayiv, if you were a bar mitzvah before sukkahs, that you're not allowed to build a sukkah in the middle, right? According to Rabbi Eliezer. But if a boy becomes bar mitzvah on sukkahs, he could build a sukkah b'chol shabbat. That's all it's telling me. Nothing to do with all the Jewish people sitting in the same sukkah. That's how Rabbi Eliezer explains that that pasuk. A good bar mitzvah drasha for a boy who gets bar mitzvah in sukkahs. If you know, okay. There are, as far as I know, 5 questions that the Achronim ask on this Rashi. 5 questions, 5 things that bother the Achronim in this Rashi. First question. I'm not going to necessarily go in order of importance of the questions in terms of in terms of how I would rank them. I'm just going to go in order of how I found them, but not necessarily how I would rank them in order of importance. So let's go through the 5 questions the Achronim ask on Rashi, and we'll go through answers what we think might be possible answers. Not all the Achronim give answers to their questions. First, we have the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes points out that there is a concept in halacha called Breira. Breira means that even though something may not be 100% clear at first, later on you can clarify retroactively what you intended to do. For instance, let's make this easier. It's Shabbos. I want to be mafresh trumas and maestros, but you're not allowed to be mafresh trumas and maestros on Shabbos. So I have this bundle of, this bag of apples, let's say, and I want to take off trumas and maestros from my bag of apples, but you can't do that on Shabbos. So what do? I say that whatever I'm going to be mafresh after Shabbos, whichever apple I take out of this bag after Shabbos, is going to be truma from right now, And Mela, right now, it's already Masukkah, and I could eat another apple, I could eat an apple in the bunch. Now, do I have any idea which apple I'm going to take out after Shabbos? I have no idea right now. But after Shabbos, it will become clear. After Shabbos, I'll pick one. That's going to be the apple I chose. And then it will turn out, Lemafreya, that was the apple that was Truma the whole time. And all the other apples were kosher. At the time that I actually tried to designate everything else as kosher, tried to designate one of the apples as Truma, I have no idea which apple is going to be Truma. But when time goes on, eventually you'll figure out which one is going to be Truma. Or for instance, another example, just to drive home the point, if you're not sure what the concept of Breira is. I always give this example, because when I was a youth director in a shul once, before I was married, so we used to give out prizes for the children on Shabbos. So as you know, there's a problem of making kinyanim on Shabbos. Can't be kona things on Shabbos. So I asked Rav Shachter, could I do the following? I'll be kona for the children on Erev Shabbos. When I buy the products, whatever the prizes are, I'll be kona it on behalf of the children. Zachal adam shel b'fanav. I'll make the kinyan on their behalf before Shabbos. And then on Shabbos, it's not going to be a kinyan. I'll just give it to them because they've already been kona it through me before Shabbos. What's the problem? I don't yet know before Shabbos which kids are going to win the prizes. It depends on, we do this in my shul, we have a father-son learning, so there's a raffle prize. I don't know who's going to win the raffle. I try to rig it that one of my kids wins every week, but you know, I can't know for sure that exactly who the other children are going to be that's going to win the raffle. So can I be kona it? I lose my job over that, but I'm just joking. Can I be kona it? right. Can I be kona it on behalf of those other children? I don't even know who they're going to be. Now, once I give it to them on Shabbos, it will be Huvra Adavra. Ah, that's who I was koneid for on Erev Shabbos. That's the concept called Breira. That at the time that I'm making the Kinyan, I have no idea who I'm making the Kinyan for. But later on, once I actually give it to them, then it's Huvra Adavra Mafreya, that's who I'm making the Kinyan for. What? So there's Machlokas with the Yesh Breira Ein Breira. In Halacha, we paskin that we rely on Breira only for Dinim Drabana, not for Dinim Daraisa. But the machlokas in the Gemara is all across the board. The shita that holds Breira works, holds for Daraisas and Darabanans. The shita that holds Breira doesn't work, holds it doesn't work for Daraisas nor for Darabanans. We split the Pesach. The Gemara itself actually splits the Pesach. We hold Yesh Breira for a Darabanan, Ein Breira for a Daraisa. But there is, conceptually, there is such a shita that Breira works even on a Daraisa. No, love that. It's just Hafras Shumas Maestras is not Kinyanim either, right? That's not really Kinyan. No, by Shumas Maestras, there's a Hafras Truma. So we think of it as a Kinyan because you're giving it to the Kohen. There is a Nod Behuda, when Nod Behuda says, I thought of a Chiddush that nobody else in the world ever thought of before, and I'm so convinced it's correct, I can't believe no one ever thought of it. It's an Afna Taisus Rid in Mesechus Kiddushin, happens to be. Nod Behuda didn't have a copy of the Tos Rid, but Tos Rid in Kiddushin Membeis says the Chiddush, that by Truma, there's Tzvei Dinim in Truma. It's classic Lamdas in Truma. There's a Mitzvah Hafrashas Truma, and then a Mitzvah Nesina LeKohen. And they run by different sets of rules. For instance, by the Halacha of Hafrashas Truma. Tos Rid uses this to answer a fundamental question about Truma. By the mitzvah of Hafrashas Truma, the halacha is, Chita Achas Poteres is Kalakri. Even though we recommend, the Mishnayos recommend, you should give, if you're an average kind of guy, 2% of the produce to Truma. If you're a generous kind of guy, 1/40th of the produce, 2.5% to Truma. And if you're a stingy kind of guy, 1/60th, whatever percentage that is, do the math, to an ani, I mean to for Truma, even though that's what's recommended, may ikra din, if you have a huge field with tons and tons of grain, and you take a single stalk of wheat, and you say, that's my Truma, may ikra din, it's matir all the other produce is no longer tevel, that's good enough, may ikra din. So Frecht, I think the Torah should ask this question, the Buda definitely does, so Frecht, the Rishonim and Achronim, wait a second, there's another din, that when you give Truma to a Kohen, you need a kedei nesina, you need a respectable amount. So chita achas isn't a kedei nesina. It's not at all a respectable amount. So how does that work? How can you say chita achas p'teres kol akri at the same time say kedei nesina? So rishonim say classic briskolandus. There are tzvei didim and truma. There's a mitzvah hafrasha, and then there's a mitzvah nesina. For the mitzvah hafrasha's truma, I'm just putting it aside right now. I don't even know any kohanim. When I find one, I'll give it to him. But right now, I'm just putting it aside, designating that as truma. For that, all I need is chita achas. Now, I do that enough times, the chita achas will add to chita, and, you know, I'll end up with a whole bundle. When I do the mitzvah nesina, when I finally find the kohen, and I go over to Mr. Cohen and I say, okay, here's your truma, so that I already need to put together a respectable amount. They're two separate mitzvahs. So it's not, being marfish truma is not a kinyan, you're not being makna to the kohen yet. You're just saying that it's truma. You're giving a chalos shem truma. Can't become tameh, has all the dinim of truma, but it doesn't yet belong to a kohen. So now that we know that there is this concept of breira, and there is a shita that holds yesh breira throughout everything. So fract the sfas emes on Rashi. Rashi says, what's the case? If all of the Jewish people are sitting in the same sukkah, by definition, nobody owns a shava prutah's worth of the sukkah. So by definition, anybody who's using that sukkah is using somebody else's sukkah. And that's the Chachamim's Raya, that you're allowed to use somebody else's sukkah. Rav Elazar disagrees, thinks you're not allowed to use somebody else's sukkah, but that's the Raya of the Chachamim, that all the Jews are sharing the same sukkah. No single Jew owns a shava prutah of the sukkah. Frek the Sfas Emes, but what if you hold Yesh Breira? Then, Bekal Eitz She'echon Me'ashut V'mishtamish Bo, Havi Kulo Shalo. If you hold Yesh Breira, what it really means is, if 1,000 of us chip in for the same sukkah, and we each pay less than a shava pruta for it, so does that mean that I only own one little corner of the wood on the eastern wall of the sukkah? That's not what it means. What it means is, if you hold Yesh Breira, what it might mean is, I'm buying the right to sit in sukkah for when I'm in there. And we're going to take turns. You'll sit in sukkah, and when I'm in there, I own it. When you're in there, you own it. Meaning, it's ki'ilu. I went to you and I said, I need to rent your sukkah for a day, or buy your sukkah for a day, and I'll sell it back to you tomorrow. So I buy the sukkah for a day, and then you buy the sukkah for a day, and then the next guy buys the sukkah for a day. At the time that each person is sitting in it, it's totally theirs. It's completely theirs. So says the Sfas Emes, if you hold Yesh Breira, look, at the time that we all chipped in and we each paid a penny to build this humongous sukkah, so I had no idea which moment was going to be my moment that I owned it. But if you hold Yesh Breira, whatever moment I sit in it, Huvar Adavar Mafreya, that was my moment. I wasn't just buying a tiny corner. I don't need a corner of a sukkah, I need a sukkah. So I was buying the usage of that sukkah in its entirety for that moment. So I own the entire sukkah. For sure, more than a shava pruta. So Sfas Emes says he doesn't see the hechrech. What, according to Rashi, why do the chachamim have to say that just because the pasuk says kol ezrach b'yisrael yesh b'sukkah, that everyone shares the same sukkah, that each guy owns less than a shava pruta? If you hold breira, if you hold of breira, then you should own the entire sukkah. That's Sfas Emes's kasha. You could say that it's just an umdin on how the kinyan was done, that when I'm buying the sukkah, I'm not really buying the moment. I'm buying the right to use it at any time and every time, and I am buying just a little portion of it. So Sfas assumes that no, you're only really buying it for the moments that you're going to be there. Yeah.
Why can't we say that that's the reason that we... Why can't we just use that question to further push the fact that we don't... that you don't have to have your own sukkah? Why isn't that a perfect reason? We said the reason that we don't have to have your own sukkah is because you can't... In this case, you don't have to. You're not able to be a shutfer.
Right.
So why isn't that? That's the messias of that's the fact. From there, we learn that you can't. That you don't have to have your own sukkah.
Right. So he's saying, how do you learn it from there? Maybe you do have to have your own sukkah. And in the case where all the Jewish people share it, you do have your own sukkah, because Breira tells you that when you're there, it's yours. So it's not that you, meaning, you're right, the Chachamim learned from this Pasuk that you don't have to have your own sukkah. But maybe if you use Breira, the Pasuk's not telling you that at all. How did the Chachamim get that? Maybe the Pasuk is saying you do have to have your own sukkah, but at the moment that you're in it, the sukkah happens to belong to you. So that's the kasha of the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes is two terutzim. Answer number one, he says, that Rashi holds, since it says l'cha means not just that it's yours, but that it actually has a din mamon. Meaning, it's not good enough that the sukkah belongs to you. Whatever portion of the sukkah you own, or whatever time you own the sukkah, must itself be worth a shava pruta. You have to have something that itself is worth a shava pruta. And this idea, he says, based on Tosfos and Daf Lamed Hei, that by lulav, it's not enough that it be yours. It needs to have what's called din mamon also. Meaning, what I think he means is as follows. If I chipped in a penny for this sukkah, so you're right. At the moment that I'm there, Breyer will tell you that my entire penny went into that moment that I'm there. But it's still only a penny. It's still less than a shava pruta. So even if while I'm there, that's where my entire penny went in, I still don't own the whole sukkah. It may be mine for that moment, but whatever mine means, it's not a shava pruta's worth of mine, because I only paid a penny for it. The value of being there for that second that I'm there is obviously less than a shava pruta. So whatever chelek I own of the sukkah doesn't have a din mamon. So even if you have a million people that just go in, out, and they just, you know, it's a revolving door, and they just, one person at a time for just a second, so you can say, okay, in my second, no one else is there, it's mine, the sukkah's mine, but it's not a shava pruta. Yeah?
According to that teretz, if someone would buy a sukkah for less than a shava pruta, just his.
No, because if you get a good deal, and it's actually worth, but over here, he's, that second in the sukkah, that the rights that he has to the sukkah is actually not worth a shava pruta. But if you have something that objectively is worth more than a shava pruta, you just happen to, you know, find a good deal on it, then it wouldn't be a problem. So that's the more dakas to teretz. The second teretz he says is belavach yesh lomer to call Yisrael ruin leishu biyachad kamar vaz in the kolechad min hashutfin al mashu. He says kol ezrach Yisrael yesh besukos doesn't mean that you can have one guy in there at a time. Kol ezrach Yisrael means everyone's going to sit there at the same time. So there's no breira to talk about. Everyone's going to be sitting there at the same time. What do you mean? Hoover adover that my moment, it was all mine. No, at your moment, it was everyone else's moment also. And your chelek was such a tiny chelek. The problem is that Rashi doesn't seem to say that. I mean, it doesn't seem like a really good yishuv for Rashi, because what does Rashi say? That it's a sukkah. Sukkah achas the kol Yisrael sheyeshvu ba ze achar ze. Rashi clearly says that they're taking turns. And it doesn't mean everyone sits in the sukkah at the same time. So I'm not really sure what the Sfasem is in the second Teretz, how that's an answer for Rashi. It seems to me to be against Rashi. Yeah,
you're saying that it means that Zahazah means shifts in different people, but there were multiple people at each time.
Oh, so you're saying like, okay, 1,000 people at a time. And if it's 1,000 people at a time, but is that by definition less than a Shavu Pruta if it's 1,000 people at a time? Meaning is if you divide $1,000 sukkah into 1,000 parts, then it's a dollar each. That's more than a shava pruta. And the way the Sfasem says, I'm sorry, the Sfasem also just says, to call Yisrael ru'uyin leishev biyachad ka'amar. Call Yisrael. Sounds like everyone could sit there at the same time.
If you have all the Jews, that's millions of Jews. And even if you take shifts, it would be such a high number, meaning you can't sit there for...
Yeah, but the Sfasem says everyone is there. Oh, meaning you're saying Rashi...
I know that it would be less than shava pruta, because it wouldn't be $1,000 for $1,000. Just the numbers wouldn't work out. But if you have 10 million Jews, let's say... Everyone's
okay, I don't know. I don't know how much a sukkah would cost that could hold a million. You know, right. I'm not sure if that necessarily would work out. But all I do know is that the Sfasema says that it means all of the Jewish people sit there at the same time, and Rashi says explicitly zeh or zeh, which does not mean all. It may mean big numbers. You're right, but it certainly doesn't mean all. Certainly doesn't mean all of the Jewish people at the same time. So anyway, those are the Sfasema's two tirmitzu. Okay, that kasha. Like I said, I'm not sure that kasha is the end of the. You know. To apply Breira here is not so pashut, because like I said, that assumes, Breira assumes that you're trying for Breira, that's what your kavana was in the first place. Over here, meaning I could have thought, I wasn't bothered by the Sfasemis' kasha, because when you chip in for a sukkah, you're not trying to be the owner for a second. You're trying to own part of it for the entire yantiv. You want to be a part owner for the entire yantiv. It's the definition of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to build a place that's going to be where you live. So you're going to buy a sukkah for a second? That's probably not what you're trying to do. You're trying to buy a place where you can live for the entire yantif. Now, I'm going to share it with 1 million other people, 10 million other people, fine. 20 million other people, whatever it is. But it's mine for the entire yantif. So Breira only helps when you want Breira. I'm saying, I don't think Breira is like an automatic, that if you're not interested in making that kind of kinyan, over here the kind of kinyan you make is not... It's not that it should be yours for a given moment where it's only yours. The kind of kinyan you're making is that you wanted to share it with everybody else for the entire yantif. So I wasn't so bothered by Chaparim saying, I wasn't so bothered by the Sfasemis's akasha. The kasha that's more challenging. Maybe we'll skip around a little bit. I'll put two kashas into one because it's really one and the same. I said there were five, and maybe if I put these two together, it will be four kashas. Rashi says, how do I know that it's a sukkah she'ula when all the Jewish people are sitting in the same sukkah? I know for sure it's a borrowed sukkah when everyone's sitting in the same sukkah. Why? How do I know that it's a borrowed sukkah? So says Rashi, because if everyone's sitting in the same sukkah, no single person owns a shavah pruta worth of it. And if I don't own a shavah pruta of it, therefore it's borrowed because I don't own a shavah pruta of it? I own part of the sukkah, a very, very minuscule part. I have a chelik in it. I'm a silent partner. I own whatever. When people buy baseball teams, there's hundreds of guys that each chip in a few dollars, and they there's one general guy, and then a bunch of guys own little teeny slivers. So I own. It's not ownership just because it's less than a shavah pruta. Is there such a din that when my ownership is less than a shavah pruta, I don't own it? Let's say this pen is worth less than a shavah pruta. I was hacked at a chasna. I was making kinyanim with the pen. So someone said, well, is it worth a shavah pruta? It's worth a shavah pruta. But let's say it's worth less than a shavah pruta. Are you allowed to steal it? Is it mutter for you to go ahead and steal it? It's not mine. If it's not a shavah pruta, it doesn't belong to anybody. No, what's the biggest raya that you're not allowed to steal it? Aside from the fact that that's what it says in the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and everything. Well, what's the biggest raya from Chumash? You're not allowed to steal it? Isn't that what Chazal said the Dara Mabel did? That they would steal Pachas Mishavah Pruta. Not going to be Chayiv, but everyone would just come and take Pachas Mishavah Pruta, the Gemara says. So that's Vaday Asr. The Rambam writes it. I don't know if I made it into the Marmakomos. Made it into my version of the Marmakomos. I don't think I made it into yours. The Rambam writes in Hilchus Geneva, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, Asr Lignov Kol Shehu Din Torah. You're not even allowed to steal a Kol Shehu. Says the Magen Mishnah, Pachos Mishava Pruta B'mamon is like Chatzi Shir B'Isurin. Just like you're not allowed to eat less than a Kazayas of a Nevela, less than a Kazayas of Chazer, you're not allowed to steal Pachos Mishava Pruta. Why am I not allowed to steal it? It doesn't belong to anybody. So what's Rashi talking about? Because Pachos Mishava Pruta, there's no ownership. Very, very strange. Also, they point out, just one more point against Rashi, on this issue, not only that, Rambam, the Gemara in Gittin Daf Chaf tells us, Kosval Isurei Hana'a Kasher, that if you write a get on Isurei Hana'a, the get is a kasher get. How do you write a get on Isurei Hana'a? What's Isurei Hana'a? So, Asherah tree. It's Isurei Hana'a. I make paper out of the Asherah tree. That paper comes from wood, right? So I make paper out of the Asherah tree. So I write it on Isurei Hana'a. Halacha is, or I slice off a piece of the Asherah tree and I write a get. Halacha is, it's a kosher get. Does the husband need to own the get that he gives to his wife? Absolutely yes. You need to own the get that you give to your wife. You can't take something that belongs to someone else or that doesn't belong to you. You have to be the rightful owner of that item. But if Pachs Mishava Pruta has no ownership, an Isra Hana is definitely Pachs Mishava Pruta. It's absolutely worthless. Because no one can get Hana out of it, right? It's absolutely worthless. So how can I give a get to a wife? How can a man give a get to his wife when it's written on Isurei Hana? Elamai, it sounds from these rayas that Rashi's wrong. That there's no such din, that just because my ownership is less than a shavah pruta, that I'm not called an owner, that I'm not called a bailim. Where do you make up such a din from, that I'm not called a bailim? That's one way of phrasing the kasha. The other way of phrasing the kasha is, let's take Rashi to his logical conclusion. That any time something needs to be yours, by definition, it needs to be worth a shavah pruta. That's what Rashi seems to be saying. You need to have a shavah pruta's worth of it, which means that obviously it needs to be worth a shavah pruta. If the item that I own is worth less than a shavah pruta, then it's not lachem, then it's not yours. What other dinim in Shas and Poskim, in Shulchan Aruch, require lechem? Do you need to be the owner of? Does it need to be yours? So matzah's one. There's another one that we just read in our Gemara. Besides for sukkah, lulav, right? Frek the minchas chinuch in mitzvah shin chav hey os yud aleph. Frek the minchas chinuch. How much are your aravos worth? And I'm not talking about the guy that stands outside a shul who sells it for $5 for the mitzvah because you're willing to pay that for the, you know, for the mitzvah. Let's say now, right now, someone was trying to sell you an arava. How much would you pay for it? Nothing, he says. You wouldn't pay anything, probably. Aravas are growing wildly all over the place. Take one. No one would charge you. If someone has an arava bush and you'd say, oh, how much are you charging for those aravas? Just take them. They're growing all over the place. Just grab one. They're worth absolutely nothing. There's a din by Dalin Minim that the Dalin Minim need to be Shalachem. They need to belong to you. According to Rashi, anything that's Pachas Mishav Pruta by definition doesn't belong to you. So your aravas don't belong to you. So how can you ever be yotzei the mitzvah of dalin minim? Okay, your lulav is valuable as a broom. It might be worth it's a 5 cent broom. Your esrog is a 10 cent lemon. Your hadassim are 10 cent besamim. They smell. They have something. Aravos give you nothing. They're worth absolutely nothing. So that's the Minchas Chinuch asks the question. Furthermore, Minchas Chinuch says matzah. Again, if not for the mitzvah purpose, would be pretty cheap. They're pretty disgusting tasting crackers. And if you have, or non-tasting crackers, you know, they're just bland crackers. And if you have a shear of kezias that's not like, you know, the size of 50 kezaisim, if you have a relatively small shear of kezias, let's say Rav Shechter said that, when I was in Rav Shechter's shear, he said that his father-in-law told him that Rav Shechter's father-in-law was a Talmud of Rav Shimon Shkap, and he helped him write the Shari Yosher. In fact, he said his father-in-law wrote the whole Shari Yosher for Rav Shimon Shkap, because Rav Shimon wasn't a good writer. He was brilliant, he had good ideas, but he didn't know how to write nicely. So Rav Shachter's father-in-law wrote the whole Shari Yosher for Rav Shimon. So he said he was living with Rav Shimon for 2 years, writing up the Shari Yosher for Rav Shimon. And at the Rav Shimon's Seder, he would take a matzah, and there were 7, 8, 9 people around the table, and he would break up the 5, 6 people, whatever it was, he would break up the matzah and give everyone a kezias from the same matzah. Now, obviously, his share of kezias wasn't 3/4 of a matzah. He's giving 5 or 6 people a kezias from the same matzah. So Rav Shachter used to joke, about my face, he's a Hasidish Rebbe, he was able to make the matzah grow and then give everyone a kezias. No, it wasn't about my face, he was able to give, because he held a kezias, was whatever, 3 inches by 4 inches of a piece of matzah, a little corner of a piece of matzah, that's a kezias. If you hold that's the case, says the Minchas Chinuch, is that a Shavapruta? So the Minchas Chinuch says, okay, maybe matzah does have to be a Shavapruta. But it's very strange that there's no Gemara in all Maseches Pesachim and no Halacha and all Shulchan Aruch that says that. But according to Rashi, if it needs to be Lachem, it needs to be with a Shavapruta, and doesn't appear anywhere. In all of Poskim, it doesn't appear such a din that it needs to be with a Shavapruta. So that's the real bomb kasha that everyone asks on this Rashi. What in the world is he talking about? That without a Shavapruta, it's not yours. So some of the Achronim are Metarets. I thought it was a Minchas Chinuch, but I tried to read through the Minchas Chinuch quickly this morning. I didn't see this answer in the Minchas Chinuch, but some of the Achronim are Metarets. No, the Dalet Minim altogether are a Shavapruta. At least by the Dalet Minim, it doesn't help for Matzah. But by the Dalet Minim altogether, it's Shavapruta. So the Dalet Minim altogether needs to be Shalachem. Individually, Enochinami, one of them may not be worth a Shavapruta, but altogether it equals a Shavapruta, and that's all that you really need. So I remember what Rav Shechter said over that Teretz, and we asked him, I don't really remember, I saw my notes, that we asked him that if that's the case, why is a lulav that's Yisurei Hana'a no good? A lulav that's Yisurei Hana'a is not worth a Shavapruta, right? It's not worth a Pruta. But when you put it together with the Esrog and the Hadassim and the Aravos, all together, the whole bundle is worth more than a Pruta. So what's the psul of Lulav that's Yisrei Hana'a? It's not Lachem, what do you mean? It doesn't have to be worth a Shavu Pruta. So I think he suggested at the time that there's a difference between being worth nothing and being worth less than a Shavu Pruta. That if it's not worth anything at all, then that's really problematic. And then it can't even be mitzarif with the other meaning. But our ravos are worth pachas mishav pruta. Something, just pachas mishav pruta. So that could be mitzarif together with the others in order to get to the shav pruta threshold in order to be yotzei. But again, the kasha is still baham kasha because that's good for lulav, maybe, if you like that answer, which is not such an easy answer to take anyway. But what are you going to say about matzah? So the Shari Tshuva has a very long discussion. If you look in the fourth source, I forgot to put numbers on yours again. But in the fourth source, the Shari Tshuva in Siman Taf Pei Beis, which is in Hilchos Pesach, has a long discussion about a very fascinating case. I wrote a whole article about this Shari Tshuva once. I wanted to give it as a Shabbos Agadol Drasha, but I got too excited and I gave it 2 weeks early. So I had to come up with a new Shabbos Agadol Drasha. But he discusses, what if you have the following case? You have exactly one kezias of matzah and two Jews to eat one kezias of matzah. What do you do? It's a takeoff of the case that the Gemara talks about where you have two Jews walking in a desert and only enough water for one of them. Right? So here you have two Jews walking, whatever, locked in a jail and only one kezias of matzah for both of them. Who gets the kezias? Or do you split it? This is a very fascinating discussion. He talks about the idea of chatzi shir b'mitzvos. We know that there's such a thing as chatzi shir b'isurim, we just referred to before, that if a person eats half a kezias of nevela, half a kezias of chazer, whatever, so it's still an isur midoraisa, chatzi shir is also min haTorah. We just say the same thing by mitzvos. That really the mitzvah is to eat a kezias of matzah, but if I eat a chatzi zayis of matzah, then I get also a mitzvah, just not the greatest mitzvah, like a watered-down version of the mitzvah. And if you say that I do, is it better to have two Jews get a watered-down version of the mitzvah? Or is it better to have one guy do the mitzvah and the other guy say, look, I didn't have matzah, what do you want me to do? Which is the better option? Is it a nice thing to give the kezias to the other guy so that he could get his mitzvah? Or is that wrong? Because what do you mean? It's your mitzvah. Why are you giving it to the other guy? Should you beat the guy up over it? So in his discussion about whether you should beat the guy up over it, he gets into shalcha. Does it have to be yours? He says, if you beat the guy up over it, then it's not really yours. You stole it from him and you just beat the garbage out of him until he had nothing left. So you were able to take it from him. So he gets into this whole discussion and he leads him into, it's a long Shari Tshuva, like I said, it leads him into our whole question about Rashi, when it's less than a Shavu Pruta, is it worth anything? So what he says is this, so I'll try to summarize for you, maybe we'll come back a little tomorrow, but he says that there's no real technical requirement of a Shavu Pruta. In regards to Sukkah either. And Rashi's not saying that there's a technical requirement that you must have a Shavu Pruta. But the place that you are sitting on at that moment has to be worth at least a Pruta. Meaning, when you are in a Sukkah, the place you're sitting in has to be worth at least a Pruta. Now, you happen to own less than a Shavu Pruta worth of the Sukkah. But you're benefiting from more than a Shavu Pruta worth of the Sukkah. How does that happen? It must be that wherever your shortfall is, I own less than a Shavu Pruta of the Sukkah, but I'm sitting in a Sukkah and I'm under Shach that's worth more than a Shavu Pruta, surrounded by walls worth more than a Shavu Pruta. It must be, whatever's beyond my minimal ownership, I'm borrowing from other people. That's all Rashi's saying. Not that there's no such thing as ownership on Bachs Mishavu Pruta, but by definition, when you're sitting in a Sukkah, and you're actually getting to sit in the Sukkah, and you pay less than a Shavu Pruta for your part of it, but you're getting more than you're enjoying more than a Shavu Pruta worth of the sukkah. How could you be enjoying more than you only own Pachas Shavu Pruta worth of the sukkah? How could you be enjoying more than a Shavu Pruta worth of the sukkah? Must be you're borrowing that extra from other people. Oh, you see that a sukkah shu'ula is kasher. That's how he understands Rashi. Totally retranslates Rashi. The other way to take it, I don't know if the Shari Tshuva says I have to take another look, is the other way to possibly be mitaritz, is it could be that in a chinami, ownership, pachas mishavu pruta, is called ownership. You are an owner of something that's less than a shavu pruta. You are the rightful owner of something, even if it's less than a shavu pruta. It's just when the Torah is makbid, that something should be shalachem, misvaret stands to reason that the Torah be makbid, that you own a substantial portion of it. that you own a shavar pruta worth of it. Meaning that's a din in mitzvahs. You steal my pen that's worth less than a shavar pruta, it's geneva, absolutely. You stole something that belonged to me, I own this pen. But if the Torah requires that something, that a mitzvah that I do must belong to me, must be shalachem, it must be a higher level of belonging. Not just that it belonged to me, but that it be worth something also. And that my ownership be worth something. It's a svara, but you know, you would need a raya for such a svara. So I wasn't so thrilled with that one either. You would need l'chara raya for such a svara. It's an interesting shari tshuva. You can take a look. Don't kill yourself over it, though. And Mr. Shem, tomorrow we'll do the other two kashas, the Aruch Haner, the Rashash, and then we'll start working on this Tosos. Take a look at this Tosos. Dibur Maskel Kala Ezrach.